today on Real Radio.
If you're a skeptic, if you're thinking tonight, I can't believe in the God of the Bible, I want to ask you a very simple question. Why not? What reason do you have not to believe in the God of the Bible? Because he keeps his word. You can trust him. He's the only one in this world you can trust.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "The God of the Jews is the Only One Who Can Save the Gentiles," continues a series called "The God of Our Salvation," the book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, in these last few chapters, we're seeing Isaiah's persona as the evangelical prophet held true with each passing verse. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled, like the coming of Jesus as the Messiah. Still, there are some prophecies on Christ's return that have not yet come to pass. In Isaiah chapter 55, we learned that God's ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are bigger than anyone could ever imagine, and he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, yet he still wants us to come to him. God knows following our own desires will eventually lead to our own destruction, while his ways lead to everlasting life in a perfect environment of rest and peace. Just imagine the future that he holds for us. So today in chapter 56, Pastor Jack reminds us that the God of the Jews is also the God of the Gentiles. Salvation is available for all of us. He sent his son Jesus down to earth to die on a cross for all of our sins. He will not turn away from anyone who comes to him. That's the bottom line. And now in his lesson called "The God of the Jews is the Only One Who Can Save the Gentiles," here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Lord, we ask you to bless the going forth of your word tonight. Father, we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah tonight, and we're kind of technically right in chapter 56, that we kind of finished up 55 and went into 56 near the closing moments of our message last time together. But I don't think you'll be at all disappointed with me reviewing the last several verses. But before we do that, we officially have tonight, I think, the longest title for a message that we've ever had in the history of this church tonight. It's the longest title. It's a good one, but it comes right out of Isaiah 55 and Isaiah 56. And here it is on the screens. The title is, "The God of the Jews is the one and only who can save the Gentiles." He's the only one. I want you to look at that title, Isaiah. He's the God of the Jews. He's the only one who can save the Gentiles. That's what the Bible says. If you're Jewish tonight, you need to listen carefully. According to your Bible, God first committed the scriptures to you, the Jewish people. And he gave the Bible to the Jewish people for them to be the custodians and the presenters of God's word. They were tapped as his chosen people. You need to remember that. We Gentiles need to remember that, and the Jew tonight needs to remember that. Why are the Jewish people the most persecuted people in all of human history? People will say, well, it's because God chose them. That's not the reason why they're persecuted. They're persecuted because they're hated by Satan and by the world, by spiritual reasons. They've suffered more than any people group in recorded human history. But according to the Bible, it says that they were honored because to them were given the prophets. To them was given the law. To them. In fact, Abraham is considered the father of the Jewish people. But those of us who are Christians, is he not our father also, Father Abraham? The fun thing about Abraham is that before he became a Jew, he was first a Gentile. By faith, he followed God. By faith, you follow God tonight. So today, you and I live in a world where Judaism has been brought up under the teachings of the rabbis and those traditions of men, not the Bible. This may offend some Jewish people tonight, but you need to understand something. Most of the stuff you know is from the traditions of rabbis, not from your prophets, not from the Old Testament. If you had known the Old Testament, you would have known that title that was on the wall a moment ago is actually something where a Jew should stand up and say, Hallelujah, which is Hebrew for praise the Lord. Because a Gentile, like I, like many of us tonight, we are indebted to the fact that the God of the Jews is also the God of the Gentiles, and he saves both, and he does so, as the Bible says, by Jesus going to the cross and dying there. The Bible says, Jesus said it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And listen, Jesus said that to Nicodemus, a Jew. And so we're all saved the same way. But today, in many parts of the world, the Jews will tell us that we, being Gentiles, have no hope. We have no access to heaven. We have no access to God. And thank God, the Bible teaches the exact opposite of that. But before we get it into chapter 56, let's just, because it's awesome, look at chapter 55, beginning at verse 8. We went through it quick. We got to just let this wash over us. Remember this? Verse 8. For my thoughts, this is God speaking, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Absolutely love the comfort of those two verses. Listen to verse 10. God says, for as the rain comes down, and we talked about last time how true that is, rain comes down. Doesn't go up, it comes down. Designed by God to do that. And the snow from heaven, snow does the same thing. Designed by God to come down and be a blessing. And do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. Verse 11, God says, so, or just like the rain and the snow comes down and gives life to earth, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Do you hear any wavering with God on that one? Do you hear any doubt? None whatsoever. I believe that word so much that what God's word says is what it is. And if it's not happening in my life, it's not God's problem, it's my problem. Are you with me? If God says, I will do this, then if God's not doing it, it's probably not time for it. I'm to wait, or something else is going on. But God says, if I'm coming back, for example, Jesus said, I'm going to return. Guess what you can know for sure? He's going to return. He's going to return. God has never failed. That's why if you're a doubter tonight, if you're a skeptic, if you're thinking tonight, I can't believe in the God of the Bible, I want to ask you a very simple question. Why not? What reason do you have not to believe in the God of the Bible? Because he keeps his word. You can trust him. He's the only one in this world you can trust. You can be absolutely rest assured whatever he said, he's going to do it. You can count on him. And so he says, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. One of the most beloved portions of scripture that we see today. Now, jumping into Isaiah chapter 56, and this business about the God of the Jews being the only one who can save the Gentiles, is what we see in verses 1 through 7 is the fact that because salvation is the work of God. Begins in verse 1 of 56, chapter 56, he says, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for, we learned last time, because, that's what that word means, my salvation is about to come. He's talking not only about the prophetic utterance through the prophet Isaiah that the millennium is going to bring the, of course, the coming of Christ and the second coming and the millennium begins. But in some aspects, as new believers, or I should say New Testament believers, we know that the New Testament teaches the imminency of Christ's return, known as the rapture. Paul the Apostle said numerous times, we who believe and remain at the coming of the Lord shall meet him in the air. Paul didn't give that up until his death sentence in Rome. The Bible tells us over and over again that we're to be watching and to be ready. Jesus said, I'm coming in a time when you don't know when, without warning, I'm coming. And that immediately excludes the events of the second coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation period, because there's all kinds of warnings with that. You see, the rapture is taught in the Bible, and there's no warning. It's imminent. There's no precursor. Nothing needs to happen. It can happen right now. And in some ways, his salvation is coming, and that could be even tonight if he comes, right? It could be tonight if you as a non-believer become a believer tonight in Christ. It could be tonight that you as a believer drop dead, and where do you go the moment you drop dead? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, says the Bible. So your salvation could come tonight in totality. Think of that. Amazing. Isaiah's prophesying and looking ahead to the day that salvation will be realized. And he says, my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, verse 2, and the Son of Man who lays hold of it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath. And we talked about this last time together, very important, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Remember that? Do we need to talk about the Sabbath? Did we cover that okay? We okay with that? There is no order, there is no mandate, there is no command given by God to the Gentile world to keep the Sabbath. It's very clearly given in Scripture that the Jewish people will keep it for all time. But you say, well, what is that? We just rebel? No, we don't rebel. By no means. The Jewish people tonight keep a Sabbath. When the sun sets on Friday, it's Shabbat until Saturday evening. The awesome thing, if you've read your Bible, and I'm not going to go through the scriptures again, but you can read Colossians. We looked at it last time. The Christian doesn't experience a 24-hour Sabbath, according to the Bible, do we? No. According to the Bible, it says that Christ is our Sabbath because he is the substance of those things that were just the shadow. Jesus fulfills not only the entire law, but the Sabbath is the day of perpetual rest for the true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it is always beneficial to actually physically take a Sabbath. I take my Sabbath on Mondays. If you take a really good Sabbath, you should stay in bed all day. I mean, Sabbath means you just rest. We would probably be healthier if we did that. No phones, no computers, no Instagram junk. You actually rest. Can you imagine? You just rest. That is healthy and that's good, and that's a Sabbath. You can do that any day of the week. But if you start to take one day of the week and use it as you doing, quote, nothing, as a means for righteousness, now you got a problem. The Bible teaches in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is our rest, our Sabbath, and that's true for every believer. Meaning, no more drama, stress, no more angst about our position or our salvation with God. It's settled. It's a place of peace. It's a place of rest. This world's crazy, but we have rest. We have peace in Christ. He is our Sabbath, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful experience, and every true believer should be enjoying that. The verse picks it up. We go, verse 3, do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from my people, nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. We'll get back to that in a moment. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. You say, what in the world are we talking about this for tonight? This is actually really awesome, because God to the foreigner will be his provider and be his comfort. When he mentions the word foreigner to the Jewish people, God reminds them over and over again that they, the Jew, were foreigners in Egypt. And he teaches them that he will be the God who sustains them and keeps them. So the foreigner is not to say that God has somehow abandoned me. Look to God. Then Isaiah mentions this situation with eunuchs. Now, I don't know if in the 21st century anybody knows what a eunuch is. First of all, the New Testament teaches that there are those who are eunuchs by birth. They're eunuchs by birth. The Bible also teaches that there are those who are made eunuchs. And that has no, we have no concept of that in this world of ours. But in Middle Eastern Empire nations and nation states, city states, there were people, there were men who were physically made eunuchs. I don't want to go down that road. It just makes me sick thinking about it. The Bible says that there are those who decide to be. That is, that they, I'm going to be celibate, I'm going to follow the Lord, and that's my desire. But what's it doing in here? And I hope this is a blessing to you. This is quite interesting. The kingdom of God, church, that Isaiah is talking about is open to all who will have faith in the Lord. Listen, the kingdom is not perfect dependent. If you're some perfect person, if you're some pretty person, powerful person, the kingdom is not made up of those who can have the royalty, as it were, in our world standards. The kingdom of God is available to all who will repent, that is, understand that you need salvation in Christ and go to him. And when you go to him, he receives you. He says, I will not turn away anyone who comes to me. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of those who put their faith in God. And God, as we learned on Sunday, God says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm not a respecter of persons. Remember that. So watch this. What's with the eunuch? Well, it's interesting. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. Now, I don't know. Some of you have different versions of your Bible. Can you guys hear me? Yes. It's so quiet in here now with the carpet. I don't know if I like it. It's too quiet. I need a more rowdy crowd, I think. Yeah. Listen to this. And again, I'm going to read out of the most conservative version because it's too graphic in other translations. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1 says, he who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Listen. See, Jack, you're not helping. The man who is somehow emasculated. We know from human history that where there's harems, by the way, this still goes on in some tribal areas, that men are emasculated by the tribal king or prince. Where there's a harem, the men who are servants, they're disabled. You say, okay, I get that for some crazy people doing that kind of stuff. But why is God talking about this? Why would a man who is emasculated not be allowed to enter into the presence of God's people, into God's presence of worship? Because God, listen carefully. Do I have your attention? Yes. Because God was laying down a standard. It's not the only thing he calls out there. God has said from the beginning in his word that in my presence there must be perfection. There can be nothing by any means that is blemished. You see, if it's not the guy's fault, doesn't matter. Listen, doesn't matter. God says, this is the standard to enter. I'm not talking about going to heaven, people. I'm not talking about having access to eternity. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about worship, or in this sense or that sense, convocation. That is a gathering of God's people. God says a man who has been damaged this way cannot represent himself before me because I'm a God who's perfect. He's not being mean. He's got a plan to this. Watch this. Oh, by the way, a man can be rendered this way if he's attacked, if he's violently abused, if he's sexually abused, as I said before, or as a servant among a harem, where he is rendered incapable. It was a horrible thing. But some of you are remembering your Bible. Acts chapter 8, mark it down. This is remarkable. We'll put on the screens. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go down toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, North Africa, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So the guy's Jewish. He's coming from North Africa. He makes a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and he's come to worship. Very normal. He's come a long way. He was, verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Is that awesome, people? The Holy Spirit would say to Philip, get up there, start running, go, 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 get up to that chariot. I think this is very cool. Philip clearly obeys, verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. So, church, you guys know what he's reading? Isaiah 53. The eunuch from Ethiopia is in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, the book you have open on your lap. 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit says, Philip, get up there. Run up there. Philip runs up there, and the man says, I don't understand what I'm reading. Come into my chariot and give me a Bible study. This is absolutely spectacular. And I love this, that God would take the time and God would reach out as he is. And so the place that is reading said, as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. Of course, you know who he's speaking about, the Lord Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, The God of the Jews is the Only One Who Can Save the Gentiles. So glad you could join us today. The kingdom of God is open to all who repent. Won't you come to Jesus today? He loves you, and he is ready to receive you right away. The God of the Jews is the Only One Who Can Save the Gentiles is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, many of you already know how important it is to set aside a devotional time with the Lord each day. It doesn't have to be a long time, just long enough to really feel connected to the Lord and inspired by what the Lord's saying to you. Sometimes it's good to start with a scripture or two from the Bible and maybe write down what the scripture means to you in a very personal way. But, you know, some of us get stuck once in a while. I should say all of us get stuck once in a while. And Pastor Jack wants to help. That's why he has a devotions tab on his website. There's a new devotion once a week with enough previous ones that you can read daily. Devotions with Pastor Jack Hibbs starts with a verse and then a personal story from Pastor Jack that relates to that verse. So head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on that devotions tab. That's going to help you get your devotional time going. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or just put up the Real Life app. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in eternal impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.